We're going to be looking at a portion of 2 Kings, I'm going to do a little recap of where we were in 2 Kings, the 14th chapter. We'll start a little bit in also 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. So I'm going to go a little bit back and forth. So recap of the 14th chapter, 2 Kings, entering a little bit into the 15th chapter, 2 Kings, and then we're going to go into 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. I'm going to pray now. Father, we are grateful again for this opportunity to come together and look at your word, to be reminded of what you require. We want to look at some things that took place years ago in what we often call ancient Israel. And Lord, we understand that things that we see in the scriptures, they're to encourage us, to be a warning for us, and to help us see that you're faithful to your holy and righteous word. You're faithful to yourself. We can see that the blessing is in that, because where man might be duplicitous, where man might be fickle or capricious, you're not. And so we thank you for the gospel that you've left for us, your word. Help me to be clear on this evening. Those that might listen either tonight or another evening, let your word go out as you want it to. Help me to be faithful to what's here. For those of us in seeking truth, and for any who want to be called by your holy and righteous name, help us to be obedient. And as self often wants to arise, sometimes we understand or we think that it's not even in arrogance, but it is. Help us, Lord, not to think highly of ourselves. Help us to understand that you're sovereign, and give us the strength that we need to come to you in the proper fashion. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name, amen. On this evening, we're going to look at a little recap from where we were on last week. On last week, we were in 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, and we also went to 2 Chronicles, the 25th chapter. And Dre, I think I need you to maybe mute it if it's not muted or mooted, however you pronounce it. Anyway, so last week, we were looking at a portion of the 14th chapter, 2 Kings, and we were looking, I said I wanted to focus primarily on Jeroboam the second. Jeroboam the second was the king of Israel. I said this is not the first one. And I gave the title for last week's lesson, Be Careful When You Prosper. And the reason why I did that is because when we saw that when Jeroboam the second, who was the son of Jehoash, different Joash and so, but I'm talking about Israel. Jeroboam the second, he was the son of Jehoash. What Jehoash had done, and I'm talking about Israel, let's try to keep it straight. Jehoash had taken Amaziah captive because Amaziah thought too much of himself, and he told Jehoash, we want to meet face to face. You see, God had given Amaziah was the king of Judah, and God had given Amaziah victory over the Edomites. And Amaziah, the Bible refers to him as a good king, but you keep looking at Amaziah, A lot of times the Bible will give you sort of snippets of a portion of something historically. Anyway, Amaziah, he thought to himself, and then he took those gods from the Edomites, and he decided he would take them back to his own country and begin to burn incense and worship them. And so he became full of himself, and he threw a challenge out there to Joash, who was Jeroboam the second's father. Well, you see, he was taken captive, and he went on up and had to live in Israel under captivity. You go back and you look in the 14th chapter of 2 Kings, you'll see how the prophet Jonah had went to, now I'm talking about Jeroboam the second again in this little recap. The prophet Jonah went to Jeroboam, and he gave him some counsel. And I mentioned the Edomites again. Jeroboam the second went to fight against the Edomites. Now, last week I said that there's not many sources, at least the ones that I looked in. So I decided that I would go see what Josephus said. He didn't add too much to it, except that Jonah had told him you should go out and fight against, you know, the Edomites. So he was victorious. And then the Bible would begin to speak of how Jeroboam would conquer land and recover land that had been lost. And there's some names of some cities, which I don't intend to mention tonight. And then he began to really be full of himself. And he would just continue to prosper Israel. Now, when we looked at 2 Kings in that 14th chapter, there wasn't really a whole lot of information that was given. So what we chose to do, or what I had done, I think I went to Amos, the 6th chapter, and I read something of the attitude and the wealth that God's people had. I'm not going to go back and read it, but God was saying how they were upon ivory beds and how they would drink the wine and how they had cast God aside in so much. Well, we also turned to Hosea and we looked at a few verses in the first chapter. We looked at a few verses in the second chapter. We remember that Hosea was one of the prophet whom God told to go marry a harlot. We talked about the names of those three children and how it was significant and representative of God's view of the people in Israel. Why did we do that on last week? Because in 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, we didn't see much. I said, these prophets, Hosea and Amos, were prophets that were active, that were servants for the Lord during the time of Jeroboam the second. So I said, let's get an idea of what that king allowed and what God's thoughts was about him. Tonight, our focus is going to be on Judah. I don't know if you remember, but I read from two sources last week, and I talked about the prosperity that both Israel and Judah alike, Israel being under Jeroboam the second, as we focused on him last week, and then on this week, looking at Amaziah's son, who is known as Azariah, as well as Uzziah. I do want to repeat that. Tonight, my focus is on Azariah or Uzziah. He's referred to with both of the names. Now, I read a little something as to why. Some scholars believe that, if I can get this right, that Azariah was his personal name and that Uzziah was his royal name or his name as far as when he was on the throne. Say, would there be a distinction? As we come to the close of, let's say, 2 Chronicles 26, we're going to see, it's a sad state. It doesn't make me happy to talk about what's going to happen with Uzziah. What's my title for tonight? My title for tonight is God Determines How He Will Be Worshipped. Okay. God determines how he will be worshipped. Now, you might not, Drew, I might need you to help me with that because I actually varied it up a little bit. I prefer that title. So, again, the focus tonight is on Uzziah. So, we've done a little recap. So, what I'd like for us to do, let me tell you a little bit of where I'm wanting to go in the scriptures tonight, and then we'll start in this. We're going to start in the 15th chapter first. In 2 Kings 15th chapter, we're going to look at about six or seven verses. So where might we go on this evening? Okay, as you see, we're in 2 Kings 15th chapter. I do intend to camp primarily in 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. Then there's a verse that I'm wanting to look at in Psalms. We'll be in Isaiah, Lord willing, a little bit as well. We'll be in Isaiah a little bit. Hopefully you have that. So that's 2 Kings 15, 2 Chronicles 26, Psalms, and then in Isaiah, specifically chapter 1 in Isaiah. Tree, if you'd be so kind, I would like you to read these first seven verses of the 15th chapter of 2 Kings. We're talking about Azariah or Uzziah. You will hear Jeroboam's name mentioned, but that's the overlap of how they would reign at some overlapping time.
In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Save that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And Yahweh smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham the king's son was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead.
Thank you. Now looking at these first seven verses of the 15th chapter of 2 Kings, we've got a very, I almost want to say in and out. It's very quick. It's like, okay, now we see that this man, I think the Bible says he read 40, I can't remember how many, I think 41, 42 years, 52, thank you, 52 years. And it's like, okay, we see he comes on the scene and all of a sudden in the scripture, at least, he's dead. Now, do you think that just because we read that, that we have the whole of what he did? No, even what's recorded, we wouldn't have the whole of what he did. So as not to really kind of go here, let's go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, because we're going to see that this is parallel. But as we have seen time before, as we've looked at some of these passages, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles is going to give us a little more meat to chew on, a little more things to consider as far as the history concerning this king Azariah, or some people would say Uzziah. Dree, even though it's going to be somewhat redundant, I do want you to start at the first verse of 2 Chronicles 26, and then we'll kind of pick this up.
And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought Yahweh, God made him to prosper.
Let's stop right there. So in this particular beginning, she read seven verses from 2 Kings 15 chapter. She read five verses here. There's already a little bit of information that we see in the Chronicles. Let's look at it. So we understand this is a young man who's come on the scene. Now, Amaziah, his father, was the son of Joash. We're looking at, so Joash was he was a young king, the one that was hidden away, right? So Amaziah's son is this Uzziah or Zechariah here. Now, I read last week, I think I began a comment on this and didn't finish it about maybe 5 minutes ago. Well, last week I read from two different sources about the prosperity under the king Jeroboam of the north and this king right here. Again, my title last week was Be Careful When You Prosper. We see that Uzziah, he's administratively as a king, he's doing some wonderful things. The Bible says, as we look at this, he said he did that which was right in the sight of which was right in the sight of the Lord. Listen at the second verse. He built Eloth and restored it unto Judah. Now, I looked at a few maps, but sometimes you have to look, say, okay, in what time period is a map? Because sometimes they'll put cities on there, sometimes they won't. But so I'm just going to say that based on the way this text is written, because I didn't see it on the maps that I looked at. So I was like, I'm not going to concern myself with that too much. But it said it was restored unto Judah. So Judah being the southern part, he has recaptured a city here. Now, kings would go out to fight. Remember that when David, in the times when kings would go out to fight, David didn't go out to fight, and he was up on the rooftop, and then he saw the silhouette, I guess, and or her actual body, that is Bathsheba. Uzziah, he's like, okay, we're going to go out. We're going to recover some land. I'm going to build the kingdom back up. This is what kingdoms would do. It's actually what God is requiring for us to do. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his father. So there's your synopsis, and it's going to go back to how things were under this Azariah or Uzziah. We see how old he is again in the third verse. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Okay. I didn't focus on her. There's probably some, maybe a little bit of information there, but there's some other verses that I'm really wanting to look at. So you'll have to pardon me. You don't have to, but pardon me for this. Fourth verse here is very key. Speaking of this, Uzziah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. God was pleased with Uzziah according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now we know Amaziah, he messed up. Because Amaziah, he's the one that took the idols from Edom, and then he began to worship and burn incense to him. And the sad thing about Amaziah, let's just remember Amaziah for a minute. I'm talking too fast. I'll try to slow down. God sent, if I'm not mistaken, two prophets to this dude. First time he sent a prophet to Amaziah, and he said, don't you use those men from Israel when you go fight. And he listened, and the men from Israel, they got mad, and they started killing some of the people and pillaging Judah, remember? And then when he came back from fighting the Edomites, and God had given the victory, he set those idols up, and God sent a prophet, and he warned him. And Amaziah said, did I give you, who do you think you are? Are you in the king's council? And he charged men to stone that prophet. So when we look at the scriptures right here, it says the Bible's confusing. No, understand what the Bible is talking about. This man started out well, and then he made some stupid, foolish decisions, and it cost him. He left a legacy for his son. Who's his son? Uzziah. Well, the Bible says right here, Uzziah did that which was right according to the Lord. Fifth verse is, I think it's even more key. Can I say that? More key? More significant. Listen at it. And this Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah. Oh. All right. You know, sometimes when I'm teaching, I grow impassioned about what the scriptures are saying. But then I say, once I've closed the book and we've gone offline and everything, I say, oh, you're impassioned yourself. Are you impassioned to keep the word of God? Does it bother you if you see yourself look like there might be a little bit of Amaziah in you? And I say, thank you, Lord, because I need your spirit to remind me, Lord, have mercy. There is something in the word of God for each and every one of us. And we can see how the heart of man or an individual can change over time. Listen at verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, there's a lot of Zechariahs in the book. Let's say the word of God. I think I listened to one individual, and I think he said there was 30-something Zecharias. And this one, there doesn't seem to be much information about this one. But what we do understand is that this Zechariah was in tune with God. The Bible says here, the word of God says, Zechariah had understanding in the visions of God. Now, don't we know that Hebrews said that God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners would speak to the fathers by the prophets, he spoke to them in diverse ways. So this Zechariah right here was getting information. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about that. But God would impart to Zechariah information to give to the king. Let's understand something about the government of God. As we look in the scriptures, in days of old, you had king, priest, and prophet. King, priest, and prophet. And they were to work one in conjunction with another under the auspices, under the direction of the truest king, God.
Say, Gary, what are you talking about? Remember in Samuel? I think it's in first. I want to say it's in first Samuel, somewhere around the eighth or the ninth chapter. God told Samuel, says, Samuel, don't you be mad. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. They want a king. I'm going to give them one. This Uzziah had a man of God coming to him and instructing him in the ways of the Lord. And the Bible says that as long as Zechariah was there, Uzziah sought the Lord and God helped the king, Uzziah, Ahaziah. I think I got those two names right. Uzziah. Maybe I should just stick with Uzziah. He helped him prosper. Now, a lot of scriptures I'm kind of wanting to look at tonight, so I'm going to go on. But look, the word prosper here, this word prosper has been taken so out of context when you hear sometimes some of the televangelists that would be on television, or I don't know if you would call them radio evangelists, the people who claim to give the word of God, if they're focusing on material things and only your health, then that's a bastardization of what God has intended. It truly is. Don't you understand that the Bible said is appointed unto man once to die? Yes, I could understand wanting a healing, but what's the healing? Is there a healing of the soul that seems to be more important than the healing of a physical body? I am not saying it is wrong to want healing. I've been sick myself. Thank God. I believe he healed me. There is more than wanting to have a whole bunch of money. There is more than wanting to have a status and clout and power. Do you have God? Do you have his holy righteous spirit that will reprove the world of sin, that will reprove you, that will rebuke, that will exalt? Lord have mercy. Telling you, the Bible said that the word of God, that's what lasts forever. Not your money, not your house. Look at all the things that men make. Systems of the world, they falling down. Like that song, London Bridge is falling down. It's falling down. You better have God. Let's get back to the text. It is a sad thing that this commentaries here that Uzziah did right as long as Zechariah was there. What are we going to do when the people that we trust the most, when they pass away, if they should pass away before us? And better yet, if we can trust anybody who has the Spirit of God, is it only for the person in whom you put your trust? What are you going to do when grandma dies? What are you going to do when mama dies? What are you going to do? You better have your hope and trust in Lord Jesus Christ. I'll start talking about death. Let's get back to this right here. He saw God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding and visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Listen, now, verses 6 through about verse 15, we're going to hear about the prosperity, the things that he was doing. And I believe God was smiling on him. I'm using that metaphorically, if you want to call it that way. I'm going to try to read it, Dree. If I mess up, just take it. Listen at the 6th verse. This is still talking about Uzziah. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the walls of Gath. That's one of the five major cities of the Philistines who were enemies of God. And the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Do you see? Like, he's doing some things that David did. David fought against the Philistines earlier than David. We saw Samson fought against the Philistines. Look at what God is doing. Prospering in God. 7th verse. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians, and dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mahunims. Some people believe that Mahunims, and I might be mispronouncing it, was a relatives of the Edomites. I think I was reading something about a city of Edom or near Edom called Ma'an or something like that. But that's a conjecture. What do we see in these first two verses here? God gave him victory over the Philistines and was able to conquer some of that land, because the kingdom of God is supposed to expand. The Bible says God helped him. God helped him. Sweet, isn't it? 8th verse. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering of Egypt. That's going south. Place where his forefathers had been in bondage. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Oh. These Ammonites
were having to pay tribute to the king. Because, you know, remember, if you, I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, around the fourth chapter, Bible would tell them and say, when you go out of Egypt and you go into that promised land, I'm giving you a wisdom. This is, and this wisdom is going to be, let's say, put a broadcast. This wisdom is to be showcased. This wisdom is to be exemplified, showing other nations who would reject God who the true God of heaven and earth is. In every single piece of land, territory that exists, they'll look at you, Israel, and they'll understand who your God is. What nation is it that has a God that would take care of them as such? Listen, ninth verse. Moreover, Uzziah built, listen at the prosperity here. Moreover, Uzziah built towers, big old towers where they could look and see if enemies was coming. Built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and the turning of the wall and fortified them. So I didn't go and look at specifically what these gates were. Let's say at different points of location at a wall that would be very wide and that was to protect the city. He doing stuff. Look, administratively, look like he's wise, doesn't it? Yes. He also built towers, I'm in the 10th verse, in the desert. And dig many wells. Sometimes the desert, I think if you're going south, it's called the Negev, or the dry places, or places where it's quite arid. It's like, this is a time of prosperity. So there's a lot of times trade would be going on and so forth, and people would have to travel. Well, a lot of times say, well, we don't expect people to come up through the desert. So we can attack and sneak up on them like this. He said, no, we don't even put towers out there. Isn't it smart? I think it's smart. And he digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in low country and the plains and husbandmen. That would be people, vine dressers, who would farm the land and till the ground and so forth. Also the vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. This king said, I'm not neglecting the land. This is a resource that God has given us. We're going to take full advantage of this. Man is prospering the nation. Oh, but if you remember anything, if you were with us on last week, what was happening when Israel was prospering? Oh, my word. 11th verse. Listen. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe of Maasai, the ruler of the scribe of, did I just get that? The ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Now, basically what this is saying is he devised strategically how his military would work and who would be in charge over, let's say, if he sectioned them into, let's say, thousands or 100s or what have you. Now, I read something about this right here where this 2,600, where some believe that it's 300. I don't understand how they came up with that. They have their reason, but this is what it says right here. This looks bigger. So I just wanted to share that piece of information with you. I'm not saying one or the other, but what we can take away is that, again, administratively, he's doing things that would be prosperous. He's saying, in other words, you're not just going to attack my people easily. A lot of, you got 200, if you have 2,600 captains and then they have multiples of men under them, that sounds very formidable. Listen to the 13th verse. And under their hand, that is the captain, was an army, 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against his enemy. Now, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and harbingers and bows and slings to cast stones. Even in our modern day times, depending on who might be the president, they'll talk about building the military warfare so as to offstave any attacks or threats. Often the person, notice I said often, but not in the case with God, you see a site with the biggest army or the most up-to-date, state-of-the-art, that's probably not the word for weaponry, most technological advances, they have an advantage. Now, I say not with God, because you'll see what God will take a few and overthrow many. What's the point as we look at these verses here? We see that there's prosperity. Let's read this 14th and 15th verse. Drew, I want you to read 14 and 15 for me. Because it's still in the same line of what we see. Uzziah's doing, it looks like, wonderful things. Read, please.
And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong.
Thank you. Now there's, I think this is the second time in this text that his name spread abroad. I just kind of quoted a little bit from Deuteronomy, at least telling you what Deuteronomy, I think the fourth verse is that God's instruction to them will be the wisdom, their wisdom, and people would notice. It sort of makes me think of when Jesus says, let your light so shine before men, and they will see how you live, your good works. Because how you live in obedience is a work. I'm not saying that's how you earn. I'm not saying you earn salvation. But if you look at Ephesians, here I go, Ephesians 2 and 10, it says you are created unto good works, how you live. That wisdom lived out, the people, Jesus would say, like, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is heaven, is in heaven. When we see this right here, it's, and I'm not saying that that's even necessarily what he did, but it's like his name spread abroad. Let's be clear. How we live is never supposed to bring us honor. Through us as a conduit or a vessel, it brings God honor, and then we might receive we will receive the blessing, not even necessarily from men. Why am I saying that he might not have done it even necessarily like that? Notice I put that qualifier in there. When David slew Goliath, didn't the women sing about David? You don't see David out there trying to say, well, I think I'm going to go do this and show up the king, King Saul. No, but when we look at this, it's like what it seems that there's a stressing here that Uzziah's name went out. Now, I want to go back and look at the fifth verse of this 26th chapter. This text, I guess it's self-explanatory. We just try to bring some things to it. And Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions in God, as long as he sought the Lord. God made him to prosper. Now this Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, God caused him to prosper. So he's doing all this preparation. We need this and we need that and we need this. And I think it's in, I want to say it's Deuteronomy also, 17th chapter. There's a prescription for what the king was to do, how the king was to live, and how the king was to stay in check. He's not priest. He's not prophet. He is king. Now, David is referred to as prophet. Sometimes David, special case. He made engines. Great inventions that would even help them in warfare. I think when Tim taught this, I don't know how many years ago, over a decade, I think I was like, oh my gosh, think about these bulwarks. I think a bulwark is where you kind of ram up against something, and some of these engines, like huge catapult type things where they could cast stones over walls or and they come down and kill people. If you ever look at some of these shows where there's like a times of medieval warfare, whatever, you'll see something. And I think this kind of is likened to that. In other words, there's other types of inventions that would be greatly utilized to help them be victorious over others. 16th verse is where it's really sad. Would you read it, Dream?
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against Yahweh his God, and went into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense.
This, the way the text reads, this is the turning point. Now, this is spanning several years. I can't remember if what I read was in it. I think this would be sort of like the last 10 years of his life from this point until the time he dies. I'm not exactly sure because... But this is sad. We read verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah 16, and he did these things that were great. You can do so much, and it can look right. It can even start out right. But when God is excluded, it's to one's demise. It's to one's, if one doesn't repent and turn around, it's to that individual's death. The 16th verse. I'm going to say Isaiah, Isaiah instead of he. But when Isaiah was strong, I'm going to say and accomplished, his heart was lifted up and his up to his destruction because he transgressed against the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And we're not going to turn there, but if you look in Exodus, the 30th chapter, and you read about the first six verses, you'll see, if I'm not mistaken, where God tells Moses how he wants the altar of incense to be, how can I say, fashioned with the gold and how long and so forth like that, the poles and so forth. You read the 7th through about the 10th verse, you'll see who God had chosen to actually administer the incense. Now, the incense were, Moses had a brother named Aaron. We're used to that, and some of Aaron's sons were to be qualified to do that. Not just any priest was able to just go and do that. But listen, something about this, so let's use a word that we talked about on last week, the prosperity and the blessings of God. The blessings of God, if your heart is not right, they can, because your heart is not right. God is not wrong. Never, ever, 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 ever. God is not wrong. Say, God gave me this desire to do this, and so I'm, no. By his prescription are we to live? Yes. And so was this Isaiah, he gets strong and his name is gone out and he has forgotten the Lord. And the Bible says that God was upset. Well, you say, you maybe didn't say that, but we're going to see what happens. Now, Dre, what I'd like you to do, go ahead and read through verse. Read verse through verse 18. We're going to bring some other scriptures in here for a second.
And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 84 priests of Yahweh that were valiant men. And they withstood Isaiah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Isaiah, to burn incense unto Yahweh, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from Yahweh God.
Listen.
Then Isaiah was wroth.
Let's stop right there. We're going to come back to that. Now, I gave the title, Drew, you can help me out because I had written one thing and changed it. God determines how he will be worshipped. Is that what I said? Listen now. There's different forms of worship, but I could say God determines how he will be approached. One thing we have here is I mentioned king, priest, and prophet. This king has stepped outside of his role. When God had prescribed, when we look in, Exodus, the 30th chapter, and he tells who? The deal is, Isaiah, I don't care how much power you have. God didn't care. I can look back at this retrospectively. God did not care how much power you had. He said how this was supposed to be. So what happens is we have Azariah, the priest. He had 80 armed men. Listen, these priests could fight. These priests could fight. Say, King, we don't respect the fact that you're a king because we have a role. And we're going to come up in here and we're not going to let you do this, even though you're a king. This is a problem in the modern day dadgum church that people have respect of person when the word of God is supposed to slice, cut, take out that which is wrong and mollify it with like that salve or that hyssop or whatever so that we can be made right. And the truth is the truth for anybody. Now, I probably sound like I'm, and I don't like that. My children tell me, Daddy, you sound like you're talking on you. But I'm telling you, sometimes I just get to talking. No matter how I sound, it's still right. Think God said, oh, he's a king and he started out right. I'm going to let him do this. When God changes because of who somebody is, He ceases to honor himself and his word. So when God gives his prescription, he's immutable. The Bible would say he's immutable. He's trustworthy. He doesn't change, and he doesn't want us to change. That's what you see in Galatians 2 when Paul rebukes Peter. We're not going to go there. And this happened when Uzziah began to be uplifted in himself. So those 80 priests, men who could fight, they went in and said, not so, Uzziah. And you see what happens here. They said, you're not of the sons of Aaron. They knew the scriptures. Too many people are not learning the scriptures. From the basics to beyond the basics. The Bible would liken it to, for when the time you ought to be teachers again, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the, or I think it's of the oracles of God. And I think in Second Peter, I think it's in Peter too. It's like, you should desire the word, not just the milk, but as a child desires milk, a baby, desire the word, feast on the word. What we got going on here, Uzziah gets upset. And he realizes that I'm an accomplished king. He realizes that God has been with me. He realizes that I can do stuff. And he gets mad. No doubt he probably wanted to have him killed. God intervenes. But before we see what happens in these last few verses, I want you to turn to Psalms 141 and verse 2. What about this prayer? This incense. Let's see what time it is. Incense, you know, when I was young, I would hear people say it is likened unto prayers. And I said, how do they know that? I think it was even mentioned. I think a pastor even mentioned it, I think, on this past Sabbath. I mean, I understood it by then. But it was, I wanted to just turn to a scripture. I think it's Psalms 141 and 2. And I want you to read this verse here. This is not in this text, but I want you to see a little bit. Would you read it, Dree?
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Listen, I don't remember if this is David or not. Sometimes the Bible would say it says a masculine of David. So listen, what verse was that again? 141 and 2.
Yes.
Listen at it, saints. I'm looking at 140. Here it is. Talking unto God, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. So what kind of incense? The incense that will be set with fire, lifting up of my hands. Lord, I have a petition before you. Now, when I see this before you, sometimes you might think of proximity. Is that close? I know the Bible would tell us, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we might find help in the time of need, because he's able to succor, help us. When you go before God, you don't go any kind of way. Exodus 19 proves that. Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus 10. I think it starts around verse 8, 9, 10, or 11. When I think so, they were sons of Aaron, but they went, and the Bible would make it seem like they were drunk. God had prescribed how you'd go. It's not exactly the same thing. But my point is, you don't go to God any kind of way. I said there are different kinds of worship. It's beyond singing, saints. It's beyond putting on clothes, saints. It's beyond what you look like, saints. And it's about what God says. David says, Lord, have mercy. Let my prayers approach you. And I'm humble before you. Let it come up. Did you accept it? Let it come up.
Let it come up. Uzziah, and he gets mad at correction. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's going to be the doom of some of us. I want you to turn to, let's look at, I don't want you to turn there. But I think it's in Revelations. I can't remember if it's 6 and 9. I think it's 6 and 9 where you see the souls crying up under the altar. And the Bible says that God says, and they want to know how long? Be in the presence of God. So you think about this now. We kind of keep this in mind of what we just read about David. There's an humble position. He's asking God. You don't go to God demanding stuff. These people, I told God this and I told God that. And you think so? Do you really think so?
Do you see how Job changed? Do you see? God started asking him some questions. Lord have mercy. I want us to turn Isaiah. I said that when we looked at Jeroboam, we went to Amos and we went to Hosea, and I said because those prophets, Amos and Hosea, were in the time of Jeroboam II. Isaiah is a contemporary, one who lived at the same time of various kings, and because I mentioned last week Isaiah 6. Well, we're going to look at a few verses in this first chapter, and then we're going to go back and finish out the remaining portion of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 26. I want you to read. Now, this is Isaiah. Now, this may not be exactly in the time frame, but it's somewhere about. So let's understand that it has taken years. Let me rephrase that. We have seen through the scripture that there's been years of outright rejection of God's word. Does that make sense? So we see some of that here in Isaiah. Drew, I want you to read the first few verses of Isaiah. Now, all of Isaiah is good, especially this first chapter, but we're not going to read all of the verses, though. You might think that's what I'm doing. I'm not. I want you to read the first five verses of Isaiah chapter 1.
The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah.
Days of who?
In the days of Uzziah.
Okay.
Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah.
Read, please. Let's skip to verse 3 and read down to 5.
The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people does not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards.
Did you hear that, Gary? Now, how do you go from Isaiah offering strange fire and being mad? Well, he's the king, and he should have been executing. That's what I want to say. Executing God's enforcing the laws in the land. But I say, well, let's move away from the king for a second and look at the nation, because last week we talked about Israel to Judah. It's like, y'all don't even know me anymore. After the judges, and I gave you the king, and I would bring judges, they would deliver you, and then I give you a king, and your kings won't follow me. Now, Judah is the portion of Israel where you'd see some righteous kings. He said, the ox knows his owner. I'm skipping. But my people, they don't know me. They don't even consider me. You are burdened down with iniquity, just the people of lawlessness. You have forsaken my law. You made me upset. I'm backwards. How could you throw me away like that? Then he's asking him in the fifth verse, why would you continue on? Why would you be stricken? Will you keep this up? Let's skip to the 11th verse. Well, let's read verse 10, because God is offering them a remedy. These are things God had told them before. He said, when you get there, if you do what I said, this is how I'm going to bless. If you don't do what I said, this is how I'm going to curse you. You're supposed to be obedient to me, not to any other God, not to yourself, not because of a woman, not because of women, not because you're afraid, but you are to be obedient to me. He even told them how they could repent. Listen to part of this. Listen at the remedy. What does verse 10 say? Hear
the word of Yahweh, ye rulers of Sodom.
Now, he didn't call them Sodom. That's bad. Read.
Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah.
Pay attention and do and obey. Hear my words. What does it say?
To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?
Keep reading.
Saith Yahweh. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my court?
Read down to 15, please. Keep reading. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands? Started 13 again.
Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood.
Thank you. And look, what am I doing? We're looking at how the top man, the king, Uzziah, he went outside what God had prescribed, but he thought he could do it. And I said, can you mute this? And God, we haven't read it yet. We just see what Uzziah was wroth at Zechariah and the 80 priests that came to like withstand him. So I said, well, let's look at the nation. Now, this is what God is telling the nation. Why? Because my title is God determines how he will be worshipped. You've got the people of God, according to this text right here. God said, you're not listening to me. You're not hearing my word. You are not being obedient. Why you keep bringing all these sacrifices to me? It's like, that's not what I want. Look, God always wanted the heart of man. He was teaching them through the ceremonial things that they would have to do to approach them, but they were supposed to understand as they would continue to grow what he said, I don't delight in this stuff. When you come before me, you keep bringing these lambs and these goats, all this stuff. He says, it makes me think of Jesus. Was it Jesus? Who we call John the Baptist. He says, we require you. Who has told you, bring forth sacrifice worthy of meat for repentance? I think it's Matthew 3. In other words, the scribes and the Pharisees was going there. He's like, you're not coming. You just coming to see. You need to be coming, bringing some sincere repentance. That's what he's saying. God tells those people, don't bring any more sacrifices because of the holidays or the Moedim, the established days that you are to recognize or commemorate different things that I've done for you. Don't do it. He's like, your heart is not inclined to obey me. He says, I hate these things. It's like, this is bothering me. It's getting on my nerves. You come up in here, you spread forth your hand. How many times do people live any kind of way? And because they change their clothes and their speech and go into a place that often is a den of iniquity. I said it. But sometimes even the pastor's not even trying to live right. Sometimes the pastor would change his message for the people. God says, I hate it. I can't stand it. Do you think God has changed? I'm not saying God fitting to burn some people up right now. I'm not saying as we see what's going to happen, but I'm saying God does not like it. And he's going to judge. He says, and you spread forth your hands. This is the 15th verse. I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, the prayers are supposed to be like incense, right? I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away. Stop this sin. Stop it. You presuming upon me. God is a merciful God. He is merciful as long as he wants to be, but he knows your heart. 21st verse says, let me read the 19th verse. Same chapter. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He is giving them remedy. He says, you need to hear. He says, you need to wash yourself. First of all, stop this pretending up in here. Quit being hypocrites. Come up here. You don't mix things with my worship. He said, I told you how I want you to live. He said, but you keep refusing and you keep rebelling. How is it that you've been so blessed? You have become a harlot. You have become one that goes out and do anything. You lay down with any kind of doctrine. You lay down with any kind of philosophy. And then you come up in here because you put on something, because you say certain things, and because you think, because grandmama, no. Jesus says in Matthew 7, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And then he goes on and he talks about certain things that they were not doing. And say, Gary, now how did you bring all that in? I brought it in because we see how the people would go to what we call church. Now we're going back to the text where we were, and we're going to get ready to close this out. Up to until I went into Isaiah, we've seen Isaiah has the Bible said he did things that was pleasing the sight of God. But when we look in Chronicles,
says Lomas, he sought God and was listening to that priest Zechariah, and we see how he built things and he was preparing things, gave the men weapons, he built up the army and so forth, and expanding the land and the territory of God, and he got lifted up in himself. And so he decided, I'm gonna go up into the temple, and I'm not a priest, but it doesn't matter because I'm the king, and the king can do whatever he wants to do, and who gonna stop me from going up in there? My daddy did certain things, and you fool, you didn't see what you forgot about what God did to your father. And so when those priests come in there ready to withstand him with their weapons and so forth, going back to the 19th verse, I want you to read from, we're back in 2 Chronicles, I want you to read from verse 19 down to 23.
Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of Yahweh, from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because Yahweh had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of Yahweh, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead.
Let's close this out. God didn't stop this king from being able to feel a certain way. He didn't force him, but he knew. When we understand that when we come to God, you might say it's come as you are, but you need to know you don't stay as you are. It's not a perpetual do as you want, live as you feel. This is not right. He wants to have his spirit in those that would represent him, because you're representing a changed life, being born from above and being in the body of Christ. You don't live any kind of way Christ didn't. This Uzziah, he was wroth. And when I was reading Josephus about this, Josephus said that there was an earthquake. And I don't know if what Josephus says is accurate, but a lot of what he says really matches up with the scripture. And if I'm remembering correctly, and I think I am, it said a certain portion of the mountain that the temple was on, it crumbled down, and it crumbled down. I forgot exactly what, but it was significant. But part of the mountain fell, I think, where, and then the part of the temple was open, and that the sun shone in upon. Now, if this is true, can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Interestingly enough, though, many times we can watch what God would do in the lives of individual and then we'll forget it. I believe Uzziah knew what happened to his father. I believe he knew history about what had happened to other kings. So in his being wroth, God's like, I'm dealing with this now. It's like, why? Why would God do this? It's because of his position, I believe. His position in that he could lead so many people astray, and that this was set apart for the high, I'm thinking high priest because we just read the chief priest, for specific sons of Aaron who were priests to do this. And so imagine if he had gotten away with this, the havoc that he really could have reached. A lot of times you'll see at certain points in history where God would really bring his judgment down. I think of Ananias and Sapphira, where the church was growing. He dealt with them for the lie. I think of Saul. Was it Saul? Saul told Samuel. It's not exactly the same thing as this particular going into the high place. But when Samuel told Saul, I'm making sure I got that right. He said, "You wait. After 7 days, I'm going to come here. And even though you're afraid that the Philistines are going to come," and Saul offered up that burnt offering. And then God rebuked him, and you see that the kingdom would then be split later on.
what is the point? It looked like certain times in history when God is really trying to, for lack of better words, I'm not the most articulate sometimes when trying to express things. God deals with an issue right then because he wants people to understand, you don't play with me. I said that the priests are supposed to come in here and do this. Now, and if you go back and you look in, I think, Exodus, the 30th chapter, you'd see, I think, if I'm correct, the high priest would go and offer the burnt incense at one time a year. The God would take that expiation for the sins of the people one time a year. It's like, you don't come to me any kind of way and I'm being merciful and gracious. You stick to what I said. When you start thinking and you're going to do things in your own way, I'm going to deal with you. Do you remember when David came, when the Ark of the Covenant was going back, and I think the guy's name was very similar, Uzzah. Uzzah touched the Ark and he wanted to save it. God's like, I told y'all not to touch it. Well intentioned you might have, but I said, don't you touch it. And he killed him. And David got mad. But David got his mind right. What am I saying? I'm saying God determines how we are to worship him. And he requires obedience. It's not willy-nilly. I do what I want to. I do what I want to. I do. And then he got to forget. It is, that is not the picture of God. And some people will tell you that that is you're trying to earn your salvation. No, that is not what we're saying. We're saying God has said, you are to be obedient. You don't presume upon God. Scripture's replete with who will not enter the kingdom of God. If you fall, you get that right with God, but don't just go thinking that you can do anything. This king, this is a sin, I would say, of the high hand, and God deals with him. Listen at it. I'm going to the 20th verse now. Wait a minute, I'm going back to the 19th verse. Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Are you going to offer up a prayer? God's like, I don't think so. And while he was wroth with the priest, leprosy even rose upon his forehead. It's like he was marked. That forehead seemed to be significant of the mind and how you think and who's your head. And he was marked with leprosy. I believe this is a leprosy, probably where he would turn white, as you'll see in the scripture. Even rose upon his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. It's like, I don't think so. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests, they looking at him. They looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from this. I don't think they touched him, but get out of here. Get out of here. And if there was an earthquake, can you imagine? Get that man out of this. Is supposed to be the presence of the Lord, and you up in here. Your being a king means nothing to God. Yea, himself says, Uzziah hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And look at this. The 20th verse, it said the Lord had smitten him. But in the 5th verse, when he was seeking the Lord, it said God made him to prosper. Somewhere along the way, he just let go of God's hand. Somewhere along the way, he stopped seeking God. The lesson, the title for last week is be careful when you prosper. Saints, America, anybody, be careful. I listen to things from time to time and they say, you know, a lot of times when it seems that things are going well, we don't pray. Because I've been talking about incense. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for our families. We need to be praying for strength. We need to be praying for the nation. We need to be praying for the president, or whoever it is. We need to be praying. I think Peter tells us that we need to be praying for those in government, doesn't he? We need to be praying God's will be done, because it's going to be done. That means wicked people will be used. Does it not? I'm not. Anyway. Incense going up. But he got out of there. And Uzziah the king, at the 21st verse, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. So we put that beside where it says God was, he did well in the sight of the Lord. But he said he was a leper. Leper's a picture of sin. These kings and these chronicles seem to be full of lepers. We saw Naaman. We saw Gehazi. We've seen various people. We see this individual here. We saw the four lepers outside of the gate. Now we see this person right here. God's dealing with it. And he was king. He was king. He said he had to dwell in a separate location. And then his son, Jotham, he begins to co-reign with. And I imagine the king being king, and he can't get out amongst the people.
like he's in prison. Your sin will hold on to you. Sometimes you'll be trying to get away from it. He's being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz, write. We'll see that if you look in the book of Isaiah, it looks like the preponderance of what Isaiah writes about is really under Hezekiah. It really goes into some in-depth or detailed things with Hezekiah. So I haven't seen anything, and most of the scholars that I've looked at seem to say that it has yet to be found. So maybe still are unearthed somewhere where the people of God once walked in ancient times. So 23rd verse, similar to what we saw in, I guess, the 6th or the 7th verse in 2 Kings, was it 15? Listen, so Isaiah, and with all that's happened, as a leper, he was buried, slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, not that he did things that pleased God. This man was a leper. All the good you can do, and Satan can come in, and we can allow him to, because it's a decision. He just ruin it. Just we can ruin it. He is a leper. That's what they said about him. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. That's where I'm going to end tonight. It wasn't the most pleasant thing to read about. What can we learn from it? It's not about just coming into the temple. It's not about just God wants to dwell in our hearts. We need to be changed by him, rebuked by him, encouraged, all of the above. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a chance to go through a portion of your scripture tonight. Help us to decrease in the attitude of self-fulfillment, being drowned sometimes in our feelings. Talk about Nadab and Abihu, and it looks like they were drunk. Sometimes we can get drunk with our own thoughts. Help us to be sober in your word. Please give us strength, the Lord, to take one day at a time, trusting and obeying you. We ask these things in your son Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open up for discussion, if there's going to be any, on this evening.
You are a real Bible teacher.
Okay. What do you mean?
I mean, you taught that thing.
No.
I don't want to offer no doggone strange prayer after this. No, sir. Can you imagine all of me black with a white forehead? Walking around like the symbol of death, carnage, and bastardization of everything. But you know what was so beautiful is I had a fool today, and I do mean a fool. He was trying to tell me, I was telling him about the goodness of the Most High, wonderful, magnificent God, and what he demands. And he mocked me, and I called him on it. I said, what are you doing mocking me? I didn't mock you. Yeah, well, you talk like you think you can earn your salvation. I said, if you get to define the terms, you can say anything you want to. But I'm telling you now, if you're going to stay in him, you're going to abide. You are going to obey him. You are going to have to keep his commandments. Now, it's a free gift. What do you mean, free gift? You have to obey the Most High God. Thank you, ma'am. It should be, because I couldn't see. Give me a call tomorrow. You will know, okay? You or either Christy. Just call me. Yeah. Thank you. I hate it when somebody had bothered me the whole time till I'm doing class. But the thing is, they're going to tell me They're going to frame it like that. I said they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Everybody in the book of the Revelation had to overcome. And you're going to stand there and mock me with about 25 cent worth of Bible because you listen to John MacArthur. It's like, man, I got 70 books by that man. He don't override the butt naked word of God. I said, it's not your book. What I told him. I said, you got that Gentile kind of faith. You to, how you not going to tell? Is you gonna tell me that obeying God has nothing to do with salvation? How? It sure have a lot to do with damnation in your lesson. And I really believe with all my soul that Uzziah didn't go to hell for that, because I believe you being sent to this several house, you had a lot of years to get your mind right after that. You know what? Because a several house means we put you in quarantine. He probably has some friends in that several house, though. You know it. I never thought about it, but they might have got some other lepers, and they could go in and have, you know, a leper party. They probably could. They could. Just a second. Yes, in the middle. See it? Gary, put me on hold. I'm back. I'm surprised. I'm sorry, y'all. I thought you all would have gone on without me. But the real issue is when people say you can't earn your salvation, they really are saying it to say you don't have to obey God. They're saying that you can make this one prayer and it covers you. And I believe that that's what had happened in some cases with Uzziah, Azariah. I've been anointed to be the king. I got the power, I got the juice, but there are still certain things you can't do. And so when you brought that out, you brought out his daddy, you brought out God, can't just let you keep doing stuff because you big, because other people will follow you. So I just need to have my mind made up to just tell the truth, because like I said, I'm talking to this young man and you're going to tell me. No, you're not. No, you're not. Then other people are going to try to come over and tell me. Like, no, you're not. So you don't know what you're talking about. And I don't have any problem standing up telling the truth of the Lord. But should I do like Uzziah and turn my back on God? Y'all supposed to do me the same way they did him. His position, what he had been before, meant nothing. There had to have to come a distinction. Who's in charge, God or this person that you once looked up to? That's all I got to say about that.
Well, thank you for your comments. Can you hear me?
I can. Like, okay. I told you, you've turned into a real preacher.
Well, it looked like that based on how I guess what the computer's showing or doing that I couldn't be heard at first while you were talking. So while you had was taking care of some business, we was trying to make sure that the computer was doing right. So But thank you for your comments. Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you too.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else this evening?
Dree has something to say.
She really does. She does, and you tell the, and Drina, you telling the truth with all your living heart. Dree Livingston.
Can y'all hear her?
No.
Okay, Dree, you might hear. You take that.
Can y'all hear me?
Barely. Come closer.
No, well, what I was going to say is when Gary went to Isaiah in the first chapter and he got to verse 19 and said that was the remedy, but there's still a consequence for not being obedient, you know, and I wanted to tell him to keep reading because
I looked at it all. I wanted to do the whole chapter, but I'm trying not to. I think I did more of that in the past. I'm trying not to read everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, I thought that was significant. I'm turning to it now. But it was saying, if you be willing and obedient.
Is that verse 19?
Yeah, that's verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, you know, it's like you say all the time, and people are always talking about the promises of God, and they only want to fixate on the good promises or the promises that are going to benefit them. But God has some promises about what happens when you don't obey too. And people need to pay attention to those as well. They need to pay just as much attention to those promises as they do to the ones that they feel are going to be most beneficial to them. And anyway, the promise of a consequence is beneficial too, because if you're not doing right, then you will receive either chastisement or rebuke or whatever in order to save you. So even the promises that don't feel good are still beneficial to us. It's just a matter of perspective.
Tim said something that I actually meant to say it, and so I'm glad he mentioned it. Said, oh, I don't want to lose my train of thought while he was speaking. What was that he said? I hate it when this happens. It was something about Isaiah. I don't remember. So if somebody wants to go ahead and it just totally slipped my mind, but hopefully I can think about it. To say something right now, but it was good, and when he said it, I was like, I meant to comment on in that vein.
I also had a thought about Ananias and Sapphira when you were talking about what God requires in terms of how we just can't come to him any kind of way. It requires obedience and it requires reverence, but it also requires sincerity, and I guess they came to my mind as you were discussing the passage, because you know what they brought to the Lord, or what they were bringing in order to contribute to the distribution of the saints during that time was what they had, but they were not sincere in their giving. So when we come before God, we also have to come before him with a sincere heart.
Well, they lied. So I mean, when you say they lied about how much they was going to give, as if that was the intent. You know, let's say for instance, I get $50 and I say only I got $30. That's what I'm gonna give. So they lied.
Yeah.
So I mean, in part, but I think we, for the sake of anybody listening, want to include that part.
So true.
Remember the Church of God holding it. You remember the Church of God Holiness we used to go to would lie like that. They'd have the people saying they put in $100 and we're going to start this offering off with $80. And yet the church will have given you the money to put that in. But to everybody else, you putting that money in out of your pocket. But that was very disingenuous. It was very, it was deceptive. It was a lie. But they were doing it to motivate people, to provoke people to get into their pocket and to put in more money. But the whole thing was, it was just like Ananias and Sapphira on a grand scale. And if God would have struck some of them dead, oh, they would have said, "Whoo, the Lord is moving," and wouldn't even have known what it was for.
They would have said, "You're supposed to put in more. The Lord go get you."
I just thought about that when you told Dree that was a lie, because that's what they did. When they used to play Match the Dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like the match game, Match the Dollar. And if you had a good job, you stand up there in front of somebody, "We're going to start this offering off today with $200. Or if your wife had a good job, and even if you didn't work, "We're going to start this offering off today with $160. And so sometimes people that had it, they would do it because they had seen it done before, not realizing what you seen before was a joke. "And we're gonna start this off with so-and-so for our bishop." I remember there used to be a man, he was called Deacon Lee. "And, you know, we got to raise this money for our bishop. He a great man of God. And we go start this offering off today with $50, all who can and all who will." And people would be believing that. And they would be on the vacation that they had taken away from vacation to come to church. And they would just... And I'm telling you, when you see that passage, and he would take incense, everything is not accepted. Please, Lord, don't let me be the fool. That's all I got. That's all I got to add to that. Gary, I'm glad you brought up that was a lie.
Well, you explained it actually very well. I think it might have been this last. I start confusing when you spoke about one thing, but you explained it really well, and I was like, "Oh, that was really good." So I just remembered part of that too. Anyone else?
I had a couple of thoughts. Okay. I don't know if they're gonna be
good.
They're a little sad because I just woke up. Okay, so I woke up and
probably gonna be real good now.
Oh, God. Okay, so I was thinking about the deceitfulness of riches. And I looked at his life, and it's like, I can see it. I can see it clearly, because it's not so much as the riches themselves, it's what you forget when you have the riches. And I thought about what in Deuteronomy 8, where it says, you know, you'll have much cattle, and you'll have vineyards and olive trees, and it says, don't forget the Lord. I think it's around the 11th verse or somewhere.
Does it mention Jeshurun there?
Yeah, Jeshurun is in Deuteronomy 32, I think. Deuteronomy 32.
You can keep talking.
Anyway, but it says that your heart will be lifted up once you receive all these things and you forget his commandments. And so it's like, it's not the riches themselves, it's what you forget. It's you forget to keep his commandments, and you begin to feel yourself in. You start building a name for yourself. Remember, that's what they did when they built the tower. They say, let's make a name for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so when you start making a name for yourself, it says his name went out, you know, and he was established and built up. And people knew his name, and they brought him gifts. And that's the deceitfulness of riches, because you'll feel like, I did all of this on my own. But the Lord said, I was the one that gave you the power to get the wealth. That's in Deuteronomy 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go about trying to maintain and to make a name for ourselves and to try to maintain that name. Now, it's good to have a good name. it's good to be able to take care of your family. But what are you sacrificing? Are you unfruitful in the things of God? Have the word been choked out of you because of the deceitfulness of the riches, of the deceitfulness of making a name for yourself, maintaining a name for yourself? It's being choked out, and you're unfruitful for God. You're building your kingdom up, but you're not building His. And so those were a couple of things I thought about. The other thing I thought about was, it looks like this priest's name was Azariah too, right?
Yeah, and I started to use his name, and then when I looked at that, I started getting confused. I can't tell y'all how many times in the last few weeks.
But this is how beautiful the Lord is, mm-hmm. that you use Azariah to try to straighten out Azariah. And it's like, if you don't see that, we need to judge yourself. You need to be judging yourself all the time.
With the word.
You need to be judging yourself all the time. You need to be trying to see whether you are in the faith. You need to be trying to see whether you're being fruitful and you really doing something for the Lord. Not just, I'm going to usurp some authority and I'm going to just give Him what I feel is good because He know I got all this other stuff going on, or He allowed me to do more because I did this. I could put up a tent and say I heal people now because, you know, I got 1,500 people in my church now. So, and then you start offering these strange gifts to Him, and that's, and you call it fruit, and it's not fruit. Mm. It's strange. It's strange fire. So just looking at that, it's like, there are things, it's like making a name for yourself. I think it's in Revelation where it talks about the church in Sardis, where it says, you got a name that you're alive, but you're dead. And because the world know you as being alive, you have a name for yourself. Mm. But you're dead to the Lord. You are no good. You are unprofitable. You are unfruitful. And it's like, those are the things. It's like, if we're not looking at ourselves, yeah, we have to feed our family. Yeah, we have to, you know, go out here and work and put up with things that we don't want to put up with. Yeah, we can, you know, we have ambitions and things that we want in this world, but has it choked out the word? Has it really choked out you being fruitful for Him? Because He said that He would, Israel was supposed to be for a name for Him in the world. But Israel started building up Israel's own name. And Ezekiel 16 says, you trusted in your own beauty. You got all pretty. I dressed you up. I cleaned you up. You were filthy in your blood. I dressed you up. I put earrings in your ears. I did all these things for you. And then you start trusting in your own beauty, which means you were not going to be for a name for me. You making a name for yourself. And it's like, I just could see that in that parable about, you know, the deceitfulness of riches and making a name for yourself. And it's like, you can see it with this king. But that thing where it says that Azariah came, and I was like, wait a minute.
I know.
The king's name is Azariah.
That is good. You know, I try to make a connection similar. I think when I said something in the name, and you're doing that is really good. Maybe you wasn't asleep. I mean, it's good to wake up and still give good meat like that. That is very good. Check yourself with the word.
You have to. You have to. It's really what am I doing for His name's sake? Mm-hmm. For His name's sake. And is it all about me? Is it all about me making it through the week, you know? And, you know, how to maintain and how to further advance the things that I have put my hands to. And it's like, what have you put your hands to for the Lord? And you say, well, I gave my tithe. Well, I came to church. But the world get all the work. I mean, you get all the awards, you get all the accolades from the world, you get all the way to go, that a boy, that's great. You know, get you 4 more vacation days. But with your vacation days, what are you going to do? I'm going to rest because I've been working like a dog for my name's sake. What are you going to do for him? How fruitful are you going to be for him? Have the riches of this, the deceitfulness of riches crept in unaware. But anyway, that's what I thought about it. It was good, Gare. And yes, I agree with Tim. You a real preacher.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We have to be diligent. When I was looking at it, I started feeling bad. I was like, oh man, and it's gonna get crazier. But it's good. It's still just good to go in and see the pattern of man and God's pattern.
That was also that pattern where, like you brought out with Jehoiada, like Joash had done what was right. Wasn't it Joash?
It was
Joash. And he did the same thing. And I like that. Be like, what's going to happen when your grandmama died? Like, you know, that was just so good. Because it's like so many people, like, you know, that's their thing. And that's what my mama said, or my daddy said, or my grandmama, you know.
Yep.
And it's like, where's your work in the Lord?
Yeah.
Where's your confidence? You know, that was good.
Yeah, Tim taught when he was in Genesis, and I started getting names mixed up, but the one that went before, is it Laban? That was Jacob. Was that Jacob? Yeah. And I can't remember what chapter. I'm thinking around 23 or somewhere around in there where he was praying. I think this might have been before the stone, where he laid his head on the stone or something. He's like, he's talking about the God of his, basically the God of his fathers, and he brought that out this years ago, and it's like he couldn't really speak as if God was his God yet, and that stood out to me, and I was like, you know, just it's something, and a lot of times we'll be dependent on people and not even realize it. I mean, that can be a sense of loss, but not in the sense, okay, now what I do now? No, we're supposed to be pointing to God, so. Anyway, is there any other comments?
Abduls? I can tell you this much. Until we get to the place that we truly begin to understand that worship is not. It is not what we think it is unless we are thinking what has already been revealed by the Most High God.
That's true.
Because I'm telling you, I'm arguing with the man that's telling me that he was saved while he was out doing all his dirt, being wicked and all of that. And I said, no, you weren't. But they teach that. So if you teach a man that when he was wicked, adulterating, fornicating, murdering, lying, thieving, beating old people out of their money, and by the way, Gary, you sound like a mirror a while ago. You said it's so and so. Well, maybe you wouldn't sleep, something like that. I was very disappointed. But anyway, did you hear him when he did Andrina?
No, sir.
Yeah, we go back and listen to it when he's talking about maybe you wouldn't sleep all the way and you still heard some good stuff. It was, ooh. And could you imagine mama crying in her soul? But anyway, here's the thing. When you look at it and you see all of the stuff that these people have done with their dirt and you say that they were still saved when they were doing it, then what does that have to tell a person that's still doing it? I mean, I mean, the pastor was still saved. He said he was still saved when he was cheating on his wife, when he was doing pedophilia. He was still saved because he had made a sacrifice. And then some black dude tried to tell me, well, you know, it's your flesh that's sin and not your spirit. I said, that's Gnosticism. That's the same thing Carlton Pearson used to teach. And look how he's living now. I said, the Bible don't say nothing about your flesh burning in the lake. I mean, not your flesh, but your spirit. I said, he don't separate between the sin and the sinner. But now that I'm thinking about it while I'm angry in my throat, he don't separate between your flesh and your spirit. He going to burn that body too, fool.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, there's a word I ain't going to use it. But I used to watch this picture called Breaking Bad. And sometimes that boy would get mad, and he had a word that he would say. And I feel that word in my spirit, but I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Don't tell me in your dirt you still saved. Saved from what? Well, you know, what you do don't have nothing to do on your eternal life. And I said, and I was telling him, that's a white gospel. I don't see it got nothing to do with color. I said, well,
they the ones told me.
People have to understand.
That's where we get our theology from.
That's where we got it. Now, if you were to go back and say the children of Israel did it first, I'd agree. But you ain't paid no attention to the children of Israel when you did that. You came up with that because you felt that because we have gone through the hands of the Greeks, the Romans, and we've gone through the hands of John Calvin and Dietlo Boppet and all these other people, that now we in charge. We are the gatekeepers of the gospel. And we have declared and decreed that you don't have to obey. You're still saved. You're still saved. And you're telling a damnable lie, and the truth is not in you, and I don't like you. That's all I got to say about that. Gary got the pack. I don't believe he's packed and already read it, Andrina. I don't. Do you, Andrina, or you don't want to say that about your brother-in-law?
I've been nodding. You know, if I give it some thought, I might agree with you, but I hadn't thought about it.
See? he probably don't even think he need that many clothes anyway. Slap something together and him and Josiah. But I'm going to keep Dree name out of my mouth.
That's funny.
Well, that's like I say, that's all I got to say, but that was a good message. And my message on Thursday is whether or not I believe Solomon is in hell right now, damned forever.
Let's go.
And I want to argue the case from A to about F, maybe Z for some people, but I want to argue the case that I believe he's damned, and the people that believe in him for once saved, always saved, they'll be damned following him as well.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you a song Marvin Gaye could have made for him. I'd be damn fool if I don't trust the Lord. Yeah. And I'd be damned if I try to live my own way. Yeah. And if somebody ever tell me that I don't have to obey the Lord, I'll be double dog damned in hell. Listen to them.
Kendrick.
Don't go.
Look. And when they close the casket, I'll be long gone. Believe that. That's what helped turn me around. I was scared to die. I told you all I used to stay awake at night so I wouldn't die, because I knew if I go to sleep, I could die in my sleep. Now, if I was to be like people out of day, I could say, you see, it worked. I stayed awake. I didn't die.
Oh, wow.
See, isn't that the kind of logic people have today? Yeah. I saved the sinner's prayer. I lived that kind of life. Now I done came back to the Lord, so I was still saved. It's like, you know, You don't even understand the grace has been extended to you, fool. Well, I'm through talking because they really have made me mad with their peanut butter gospel. Choked me half to death with that thing.
Well, that was good, and you wrote another song.
Yeah. I mean, I could take what's going on and show that, you know, this gospel people teaching is wrong. Now you say, mother, there are too many preachers lying. brother. In hell, that's where they're going to be crying. You know we got to get the word today. Ain't no understanding going on, folks. Just all they want to do is pray. Yeah, it'd be easy to make one. I might do it because I think I could enjoy the dance to it with my powers.
That was good.
Good night. Good night from the brain of Tim.
Well, good night. We thank y'all for calling in, and the comments were good. And let's be diligent and keep praying one for another. So, thank you all for calling in, and Lord willing, we'll be connected back up possibly on Thursday night. We'll see. All right.
Yes, sir. All right. I missed you three.
I missed you too.
Have a nice trip, you all, and be safe.
Thank you. All right. Love y'all.
Bye. You too. Bye.